We're too busy talking to do talk radio, huh?
Here we go.
See if you can do it from memory there.
I don't even know which one it is. I think it's the one that has to do with the sin flood of statism. And I think that we're listening to the Freedom Fiends, but I can't seem to find it in my email. So I can't really confirm whether or not. But allegedly, this is the Freedom Fiends, and we are broadcasting something into your brain that prevents something into your locus coeruleus to make it a warm and toasty LibPair 2017. I don't know.
I love how the board op was yelling in our ear, you're on. We know we're on. This is how we do radio, man. So, Dobby,
I'm doing a magic trick right now.
What? You're eating chocolate?
No, I'm drinking coffee, but I am restarting my computer and talking on the radio at the same time.
I hope it's a different computer than the one you're on.
It is a different computer, yeah.
Using your laptop?
Yeah, my laptop is running Fiendphone in the background there, and at the same time, I'm able to restart my main computer, which is part of why I was not able to do the intro, because I had to restart the internet.
Yeah.
But
all the intros are good. They all work. And you are drunk on coffee. No, on chocolate, aren't you?
I've been eating chocolate all day. Yeah, I think chocolate is sort of a narcotic. My wife and I had our second 5-year anniversary today. And
Wait, is that 10 years?
No, see, we celebrate both our lunar and our solar anniversaries. That's two anniversaries.
I don't know what that is.
Well, there's a solar calendar, which is 365 days and 12 months. And then there's a lunar calendar, which is 13 months each of about 28 days, which is 11 days shorter than the solar year. So like our first year, 1-year anniversary was like lunar anniversary, and then 11 days later, solar anniversary. And then our second year, it was like lunar anniversary, and then 22 days later, our solar anniversary. So we have two anniversaries a year. But after 11 years, we'll have eclipsed the soul. The lunar anniversaries will have eclipsed the solar anniversary. It's just something we do for fun. But this was our second anniversary this year, which I think means is our solar anniversary.
What about your loony and your loony anniversary, the Robert Anton Wilson calendar?
Yeah, you know, the Discordian calendar is also 365 days, but it's only 5 months, and each month is 72 days long.
So this would be like the ninth anniversary or something, right?
Yeah. I think it'd still be fifth.
I don't know.
It depends how you measure it. But so what we did for our anniversary was we did a chocolate tour of San Francisco, and we went to all the little sort of mom and pop shop chocolatiers around the city and spent all day kind of walking around and sampling chocolate everywhere we went, and it was a good time.
Did you vomit in Commerce Alley?
No.
Or Cosmo.
I did happen
Cosmo.
By
Cosmo Alley in San Francisco.
Oh, what is the name of this place? I have it in my pocket here. It's that bookstore that was going to close on account of the
minimum wage
laws, Borderlands Books.
Yeah, in the Mission.
And they are staying open, and the way that they're staying open is essentially like a podcast stays open. They're selling annual subscriptions for $100, and if they got 300 people to give them $100 as a subscription, and so they're staying open at least for another year.
Yeah, that's the thing with a brick and mortar location is costs more. We stay open with like $2 and $5 donations.
Yeah, we don't have bookshelves full of things for people to flip through and whatever.
We do have binders full of women, though.
Do we?
Yeah.
I don't think I have one of those.
I tried to get Angela Keaton to Fiendphone in tonight, too, but I don't know. I think she should be on this show. I think she should be a fiend. I'm publicly inviting her on here because, first of all, she's been spreading the word of Fiendphone in every interview she does. I don't even know if she's ever used it, but she's saying it's the wave of the future because it's not Google or Microsoft. Secondly, she listens to every single show. Thirdly, she's funny as heck. And fourthly, I think she's up at night because I always like see her tweeting when we're on. So
yeah,
I'm inviting her openly to become a fiend. I don't do that.
Maybe we
often.
Should give her a preemptive indulgence to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Oh yeah, she gets to violate the non-aggression principle once. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I hear your Windows computer rebooting there.
Now see, that is a side effect of using two computers, is now the headphones are mic'd through or routed through the laptop and not the desktop, which means the sounds the desktop make, I'm gonna have to turn off the sound.
No, you don't. Everybody complains about my email notification sound all the time, and they tell me it's unprofessional and not good radio, and I'm like, yeah, but it's the sound that's happening when I'm doing radio. It's part of our
I think it's a microaggression. especially Skype messages or Facebook messages. It's kind of like a very, very subtle form of fraud, because it's tricking your whole locus coeruleus into thinking you've got a message when you don't.
Or into thinking you've got a message that's worth reading.
Yeah,
because they're usually
someone else's computer.
There usually isn't. Well, there's often a mess. Oh, you mean for the listener?
Oh, yeah. If the listener like hears this little Skype bling and they think they have a message and it's actually my computer. It's like when I was a kid, my parents, or at least my stepdad, was really into computer golf. Did you ever play this game? Or there are lots of these games, but no. He played this one particular version of computer golf, which is the weirdest video game ever. But the interactiveness of this video game was such that if you were too close to the water trap, you could hear frogs ribbiting every once in a while. And my mom spent a full like 4 hours turning our house upside down because she thought there was a frog in the house, when in reality it was just that he'd left the computer running and it occasionally made a frog noise.
Kind of reminds me of we moved into this house, and about a year after we bought this house, a smoke alarm that was hidden somewhere in the house was dying. You ever have that problem?
That's such a terrible design.
There's an episode of Friends about this, I think, even, or something. They peep like once every 5 minutes, you know, not often enough to find them. And it was literally, it was in a closet on the top shelf under a bunch of cardboard. Like I kept looking where you'd normally mount smoke detectors.
You know, they make torture devices that are just designed to make that little chirp so that you can hide it in someone's apartment and they'll never figure out where it's coming from.
No, they don't.
They do.
Who's they?
They is like gag shops, like magic shops or whatever that sell gag gifts. Weird things you find on the internet. They absolutely know. They make these things.
Should we coerce Angela Keaton into joining our libertarian talk show?
How do we do that?
I don't know. If she doesn't become a fiend, we'll start a rumor that antiwar.com is financed by the Department of State or something. It's not, but you know. There are people stupid enough who want a conspiracy enough that they'd probably run with that. Now, I don't
there
think
you go. See, we're just running opposition. Really, she is funded by whatever anti-war is funded by that. And we're just here dispel a rumor that doesn't even exist, to preempt the releasing of a document that reveals the whole conspiracy.
Oh, you're horrible.
Controlled opposition, man. That's how all conspiracies operate.
Hey, Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink.
And he's funded by the State Department.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Angela Keaton is not funded by the State Department, but she should be a freedom fiend. What else does she have to do between 10 and, I don't know, is she a party girl? Does she go out? I keep thinking she lives on the East Coast, but she lives in LA, doesn't she? I don't know. Somewhere.
I don't know. I always seem to see her at events. My impression is she's in California.
Yeah.
I think she's in LA. Yeah. Well, I've never known her to be all like a late night alcohol driven party girl, but you know.
Well, she did say that she listens to the Freedom Fiends in the afternoon, I think on LRN, and she said that the Freedom Fiends were like taking bong hits of Trainwreck. And I thought that, I didn't know that Trainwreck was a brand of marijuana. I thought, the phrase by itself sounded great to me, that the Freedom Fiends were like taking bong hits of Trainwreck. I think she said sprinkled with Valium, but, and I guess that's a compliment.
Sounds like a compliment.
Yeah, I like it.
Although, you know, if she's already taken her bong rip of Trainwreck tonight, it might be very strange that she's sitting listening to the radio and the radio is talking to her.
She might think.
Or at least about her.
Yeah. You know, that's a sign of crazy people. Like, they think that the media is talking to them. It used to be.
But sometimes it is.
But sometimes it is. Yeah. You know, I have known two people in my life that were taken away by government agents and put in a mental hospital for threatening to kill the president. One was a cook at the church farm school, and apparently he'd done it twice. And one day, like, men in black suits just came and took him away. And the other was a roommate of mine in Arlington, Virginia, in this kind of like group home where a landlord just, you know, put rooms in the paper, and then we all ended up living together. And it was a guy who, like, his parents lived in Wisconsin or something, and put him in Arlington because there was a shrink there that was good for him. And one day when we were downstairs practicing, we came up, my roommate said, the police just came and took Bill away, man. And I'm like, why? And they're like, because he told his, you know, his doctor made house calls, and he said, because he told his doctor that the TV was talking to him and telling him to kill the president.
But what if it was? Shouldn't they verify that before they lock him away?
Yeah, I don't think the TV tells you to kill the president. I think the radio tells you.
It does if you're watching the Manchurian Candidate. I mean, think about it. Like, if you're just, it's sort of like the Guns and Dope Party, right? Like, they got started because somebody, you know, took a bong load of train wreck and they watched some old movie. I think it was Breakfast at Tiffany's. And suddenly the television was telling them to replace a third of the California legislature with ostriches. Because
that's not in Breakfast at Tiffany's.
No, but it is if you take a bong rip of train wreck.
I don't think they had train wreck back then. I think they had Acapulco Gold back then.
There was probably Acapulco Gold. You're right. But the point is that the television told him to do something and he did it. So was he crazy? And if he was and he got elected, does that mean you have a lunatic in office? And what does that say about the state of California?
I don't know. You live there and so does Angela.
It's true. We're the outliers here.
You are. You're on the fringe of America.
Yeah. The maritime gold fringe of the left coast.
So today's episode is called People with the State Are Like Chimpanzees with Machine Guns. And Davi doesn't get that, though. He thinks it's funny even without having seen Better Call Saul tonight. But
well, yeah, it's like I thought Not My Circus, Not My Monkeys was funny before I got the reference.
Yeah. Although I now know why Jimmy changes his name.
Yeah, you can spoil it if you want. I don't mind. I've said this from the beginning. I don't mind spoilers if we want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I'll just dot it over your head and be back like I'm
next
better
week's,
than you.
Next week's episode is the last of the season, and I predict the name change will happen before the end of the season.
That's cool. That's a nice finale.
Yeah. It kind of
has to. You catch the finale of Walking Dead? I watched that.
Yeah. Well, you're going to talk about that. When we get back, I'm going to rest my voice because I'm sick from quitting vapes. I'm going to talk about that when we come back. How are you liking all that vape equipment I sent you?
It's cool. I haven't even gotten to most of it. I'm using one of the new batteries, though.
Good.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Take it, Davi.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with a rejuvenative radio wave. This warms your brain to a tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael? Can you feel it? Is it working?
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm really sick, man. So I had strep throat. Antibiotics killed it. But I'm kind of suffering from, I think I'm patient zero with a new non-communicable disease. So,
so you're the only one.
Yeah, well, the first one. We'll call it Dean syndrome.
We'll call it Dean's disease.
Yep.
Is it a syndrome or a disease? There's a difference, you know.
Syndrome. Okay. All right, so
that's why Fiend Phone has a cough button.
Yeah, I didn't use it.
It's part of the performance. This is method acting going on here.
So I quit vaping. So, I've smoked since I was like 20, and I'm like 50, but I quit smoking like 2 years ago, and started vaping. And I had quit smoking a few times in all the years, 30 years I smoked. You know, quit for 9 months here, 6 months there. When you quit smoking, if you're a heavy smoker, you actually get sick for the first couple weeks after, like, because you're hacking up all the toxins in your lungs. So I don't think vaping has been around long enough that there are people who've done it for a few years heavy and then quit. I think I'm the first one because I've Googled all over for this, like quitting vaping, and all that comes up is like how to quit smoking by vaping. I can find nothing. So basically, I got strep, you know, so like it lowered my immunity. I got strep probably at the doctor's office, and then that's gone. But I'm like, my lungs are filled with the vaping fluid, and I'm coughing this crap up like all day, every day. Like
the fluid? What do you mean the fluid?
The fluid,
like actually, you've got the oil in your lungs?
Yeah. 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 I'm coughing up like clear, gloppy, glycerin-y tasting stuff. And it's making me sick, and it's making it hard to breathe. Like you can hear. It's hard to breathe for me. So my doctor has never seen this because I'm patient zero, but she is a very good asthma doctor. I also have asthma, but she predicts it's going to take up to a month of this. And I've been off for about 10 days. Quit on the first day of spring. So, yeah, that's why I haven't been doing my full show schedule.
For science.
Well, for getting better. I'm using nicotine patches, but I'm not using very much of them. Like, I'm using like a third of a patch at a time. I'm barely missing any of it. I just get in these coughing fits, and it's freaking hard to breathe, man. It's horrible. But got to do it to get better. And I'm sure people are going to email me all sorts of ridiculous folk remedies. But unless you've actually done what I'm doing, which nobody has, I don't want to hear your folk remedies. So, all right, go ahead, Dobby. What do you want to talk about?
We were going Walking Dead. Did you watch the finale?
Yes, it was good.
I watched, I did for the first time, I went to a place called Seven Stars, which is a Star Wars themed bar in San Jose, but they screen popular television shows. It's weird. It's like, instead of a sports bar, it's like a geek bar. And so, they screened Walking Dead. And so I went and watched it with a bunch of other fans. It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
I was thrilled. It did most of the things I needed it to do, although it didn't kill Daryl. Spoiler alert, Daryl's alive. So, I don't know. What do you think?
That was pretty good. I don't know. I'm breathing. I'm trying to catch up breathing.
So, we figured out who the wolves are, which is fun. And they're creepy. Got back Morgan, which is fun. And, they are creepy. I don't know, quite understand what the point of their traps are, but they lay these elaborate traps that are designed to unleash walkers on people.
Ugh.
Or zombies on people.
I think that's to protect that building. I think they're in that building.
Oh, and that's just sort of
the mechanism. It's the moat full of alligators. Yeah.
Yeah. But they brought in Little Red Riding Hood from the outside, though.
What do you mean?
Did you catch that? The dude in the red hoodie was Little Red Riding Hood getting captured by wolves?
No.
At least that's what I think.
Nice. Any fiends want to jump on, drop me an email.
Including Angela Keaton.
And, yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Worms.
If there's any fiends listening, drop me an email. I'd love to pull you on here. All right, so Dobby's talking about zombies.
Well, it's The Walking Dead, and the season finale just concluded last night, and I thought it was phenomenal. They did, for the first time ever, they did a 90-minute episode as opposed to a one-hour episode, which they've never done before. And they also beat their previous, ratings record, which is exciting stuff. And They're also just going into a really exciting area for me, like, because it's, they're going into a place that no zombie movie has ever really done before. And that is the rebuilding of society. Yeah. It's once you have, it's not all survivors anymore, right? Like, you have these sort of regular rural / urban sort of regular old neighborhood people, and they're trying to figure out, what does society look like? How necessary is someone as bloodthirsty as Rick in a world where people are just, you know, making casserole for each other and getting together to make cookies and things like that? And it's like, it really is like going all the way back to sort of the softness of society, right? Like, I forget the guy's name, but the mayors or the governors or whatever that woman's name is, her husband said, you know, the cavemen were nomadic, and society really begins when people settle, right? And so they're settling. And now the show is about, how do these nomadic people settle into a society where, you know, you have to prosecute crimes, right? And it's an odd kind of cliffhanger. Like, most of the time shows like this have cliffhangers that are about, you know, danger or tension or something like that. But this really isn't. This is, we saw three instances of forgiveness happen. And the cliffhanger is, what are the consequences now? Right? We saw Glenn follow Nick into the woods, and then Nick shot him and tried to kill him and left him for dead. And when Glenn bounced back and defeated him and had an opportunity to kill him, he says, no, I'm going to drag you back to Alexandria. And and what? Put him on trial? Like, what do you do now? Right? The other was Sasha and Gabriel. Gabriel came out as a lunatic in front of Sasha and Maggie, and Sasha almost killed him, but then Maggie stopped her. And so the question now is, what do you do with Gabriel? Not only has he outed himself as a lunatic, he's betrayed his previous group by saying that they're the devil, essentially. And then he left the gate open and let zombies into the walled compound.
Was that intentional?
Like, I don't think it was intentional. Yeah. I think he was just sort of in someone, I don't know, some
condition
sort of
white.
Euphoric. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he did it, is the point. And maybe he'll be killed for it, and maybe he won't. Now, here's the thing. You saw this. Some people have said they think Rick killed Pete at the end. Other people have said they think Rick shot Diana's husband at the end.
No.
Because he was bitten, or he was, his throat was cut, right? Pete cut, I forget his name, but cut hit the guy's throat, right? Which means he's about to become a zombie. And so some people think when Diana said, do it, and you see Rick fire the gun, what he's doing is putting the husband down.
Hmm.
Now, that wasn't my first impression. My first impression was that Pete got killed, right? Because that's what I want to have happen. But I could see how they never say it explicitly and they never show it explicitly. It's entirely possible that it was actually putting the husband down. I don't know. It could go either way. But if Pete is alive, you now have the problem of, how do you prosecute Pete for murder?
Are you going to hate? Are you going to hate Daryl less when he comes out as gay?
No, I got no problem with Daryl being gay. That'd be perfectly fine with me.
Has that crossed your mind?
Yeah, there have been rumors about that online, because he's so asexual right now, right? Like, he's the sex appeal of the show, allegedly, and yet he's never really made a pass at a girl. He's, like, turned down both Carol and Beth, and we know of no romance in his past. And so maybe he's gay, maybe he's asexual, maybe who knows what he is. Maybe he's a eunuch. But no, I don't even hate Daryl. Here's the thing about Daryl, and this is a spoiler for the comics, okay, but once Alexandria kind of gets established and you start running into these groups like the wolves in the comic book, you eventually get to this villain named Negan, and he's like the state incarnate. What he does is, he comes to your place. He clears the area. He kills all the walkers in the neighborhood around you, and then demands 50% of your supplies and calls it a social contract. He's like a walking government.
Which one, right? Is this? Who's this?
This guy's named Negan.
Oh,
and
like the mayor of New Orleans during Katrina?
No, I think it's a combination of Nixon and Reagan.
Yeah, like the guy who was the mayor of New Orleans.
I don't know who that was.
But he's the guy that took everyone's guns away during Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, maybe. But here's the thing, and this is a huge spoiler for the comics, but in the first appearance of Negan in the comic books, he does this like brutal eeny, meeny, miny, moe game where he has like Glenn, Sasha, Michonne, and Rick all lined up. And he's like, I'm going to just have to kill one of you just to teach you. And he does eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and he beats Glenn to death with a baseball bat. And it's like, no reason, no drama, no tension. It was this stupid kids game for Negan. And the fans were mad because Glenn was the fan favorite of the comic book, the way Daryl is the fan favorite of the show. This was before Daryl existed. And so when Robert Kirkman answered the fans and said, and said, when they demanded to know, why would you do this? He said, because I needed the fans to understand that Negan was dangerous. And I needed them to understand that no one was safe. And the only way to do that was to kill everyone's favorite character. Now, to do that in the show, if you killed Glenn that way, it doesn't work. Glenn is not the same fan favorite that he was in the comic book. The way to do that in the show is to kill Daryl. If Negan shows up and kills Daryl, that is as dramatic a death as when Negan showed up and killed Glenn in the comic book. And that's why I think Daryl should die. Because it has a literary power. It's not because I hate Daryl. It's because everyone loves Daryl so much. If that wow. makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put a lot of thought into this.
Well, couldn't Negan just show up and kill a random bystander? You know, some
no.
nice person.
It doesn't work because there has to be a transition for the audience where they realize, oh, this is not somebody who kills irrelevant characters. This is somebody dangerous enough to kill main characters.
Hmm.
And you can only do that by actually killing someone that people love.
Did the comic book exist before the show?
Oh, yeah, like 10 years before the show.
Oh. Graphic novel, right?
Graphic novel, sure. Well, it's a comic book, too. I mean, it comes out in both forms.
Hmm.
So, Negan is my favorite villain in all comic books. he's fantastic because he's like the walking state. You know, like the things that come out of his mouth are like the social contract BS that comes out of the mouth of like Harry Reid or somebody, like, or Nancy Pelosi or Barack Obama or so at the end of the Great War, or the All Out War, which is the name of the series, Rick and Negan are sort of face to face and they're tied and neither can overpower the other. And Rick sort of says to him, like, why are you even doing all of this? Like, and Negan is the one who brought an army to invade Alexandria, right? But Negan says, what are you talking about? And I can't say it word for word because he's just such a foul mouthed person, which is going to be difficult for AMC to deal with. But he essentially says, I've just been defending myself from all you Fs all this time because, you know, I'm just trying to establish order and you're ruining all of that. And what you all don't understand is that society needs people like me to keep order so that you guys aren't so miserable about your pointless lives.
Yeah, sounds like Harry Reid.
and so he sees his mission in life is to reestablish society in the form of a legal structure or an authority figure or a rule of some kind. And he sees everything he does as righteous when really he's raping and stealing and murdering and it's too perfect of a villain for me. And then Rick responds and he says, hey, you want half of my supplies? Fine. You can have half of my supplies. Only instead of coming here and demanding them, why don't you go out and do something productive? Why don't you go siphon gasoline or find clothing and trade with us or go make clothing or just do something productive with your time? And it's such a perfect like libertarian response to the state of like, you know, I don't want to necessarily hang all the politicians for their crimes. I just want them to do a productive job.
I'm going to play golf.
So, yeah, like play golf. But Negan is so perfect a villain for me and my biases that I'm going to be really hurt if they don't do it right. And I don't think they can do it right because they can't swear the way Negan swears. They'd have a lot of trouble showing the violence of Negan, like even the violence they've shown is not as bad as what Negan does. Like,
really
Negan. Yeah. He like one of the punishments in his group. If you're insubordinate at all, he burns your face with an iron.
He sounds like the Reavers.
It is kind of like the Reavers. And so there's this famous character named Dwight, who a lot of people think that Dwight and Daryl are the same character, but it's sort of complicated as to why, mainly because Dwight has the same crossbow and he's sort of the same survivalist type. But Dwight comes from Negan's group, but he's the Judas of Negan's group, and he has this face that's burned. And then you find out that Negan burned it. And the reason that Negan burned Dwight's face is because Dwight wouldn't let Negan rape his wife.
Wow, what a buzzkill. He deserved his face burnt.
Right? And so there's just, it's, and the whole time, Negan is just this like weird, like jolly, like, he's like a Santa Claus kind of a personality. Like everything's happy, everything's funny. Like he doesn't, even if you punch him in the face and break his nose, he laughs in your face because he doesn't have an ego. And this is another reason why he's the state. He doesn't have any personal vendetta the way you'd expect a politician to have. He really only cares that you obey. Even if you insult him, even if you injure him, you could break his nose and he doesn't care. He'll laugh in your face as long as he has the upper hand on you.
Interesting. Are there other, can you think of other villains like that? It sounds familiar. Kind of.
The guy, I really can't. I'd love to see it. Yes. Fight the Club. Fight in Fight Club. Yeah, yeah. Tyler Durden is kind of like that.
Laughing while he's being hurt. Yeah.
And it is that kind of crazy, but Tyler Durden's an anarchist.
When he's getting beaten up by Lou, he's like, he's being seriously injured and he's like, is that all you got? And laughing at him.
Right.
But it doesn't seem masochistic. It just seems like he has no value for his own body or his own well-being.
Yeah. So it is that sort of Tyler Durden attitude, but it's Tyler Durden for the state. Right. Which is like, it's the perfect villain. Worms.
We're back after the flea market. I'm gonna need an oxygen tank to keep doing this show.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
What did the government do to you today, Dobby? Well, it wasn't to you. What did the government do to the world?
Really.
What'd they do to the Bitcoin?
What'd they do to the Bitcoin? Well, in closing, I realized something over the break. You know what Walking Dead really needs is a cat.
Wow.
I think cats would survive in the zombie apocalypse.
Your book has a cat, right?
My book does have a cat. That's right. Max, in Survivor Max, which is another book about the zombie apocalypse, Max has a cat named Stinky. And Stinky is quite an asset in the zombie apocalypse. He can see at night. He hears things better than Max and lets him know when there's a problem. He catches mice and brings them home for food.
Most people are annoyed when their cat brings home a dead beast. I think in a zombie apocalypse, you would not be annoyed by that.
No, he cooks them and eats them.
Yeah.
And then he learns that the cat's favorite part is the brain, but he can't crack the skull without Max's help. So that's sort of the trade arrangement they've made is the cat brings him the carcass and Max sort of dishes it up and cracks the skull open and then throws him the cracked skull for the cat to pry apart and eat the brain.
I don't know.
Quite a little trade arrangement they've got going on.
Don't cats usually remove the head as well as the feet because that doesn't taste good?
Yeah, it goes back and forth.
They prepare a
meal. Imagine with rats and mice, they're small enough, they might just bring you the whole thing. And I've definitely had cats bring me whole animals before.
My cat usually takes their feet off and their guts out because they're preparing a meal for you.
You know, that is cool, but there's kind of an educational quality to the book where Max talks about removing the limbs and removing the guts. And that's kind of about teaching the reader how to dress an animal. So I kind of want to leave it in there, even though you're right. Cats do that. Maybe in the second book, Stinky will get better at it. Or maybe Stinky starts hunting.
The cat?
Stinky's the cat. That's awesome. Stinky Romero is the name of the cat.
Named after the zombie filmmaker.
George Romero.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the second book is written. In the third book, maybe I'll have Stinky get better
and like he'll be able to catch larger game and he'll learn how to gut the animal himself, and then that'll become part of the third book. But at least for the second book, I want the reader to learn as Max learns how to dress an animal, if that makes sense.
Is Max going to get older or is he always going to be 11?
No, he's going to get older. He's 12 in the second book. And I've got sort of a timeline that takes him like into adulthood and into a sort of, you know, a dystopian future and stuff. So
is he going to have a love interest when he's 15 or 16? 14?
I don't know. I mean, like, there's definitely Max and Ellie have become this sort of duo, and you know, it's a boy and a girl, so that's nice and simple. But I haven't done that. I haven't introduced that as a concept yet.
You know what? But, you know, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it where they're kind of just like best friends who almost have, not saying they never do it, but it's like romantic side topics in books and movies often seem forced. Like, you know, the producer said you need it and made the writer put it in. And,
yeah,
you know, I think more organic would be just kind of like they're best friends, but in a way that like a boy and a boy wouldn't necessarily be, or a straight boy and a straight boy wouldn't necessarily be.
Hey, you know, maybe Max is gay. Have you considered that?
Maybe he's asexual.
Maybe he's asexual.
Like Daryl.
Or maybe he's been a girl the whole time and he's just been presenting himself as a boy because he's transgender and he's the narrator, so he gets to be whatever he wants.
Oh my.
Or maybe Ellie's gay.
Barack Obama's a liar and a socialist. And you know what else?
No.
His feet stink.
Do his feet stink?
Yeah.
Stink like Stinky the Cat stink? Or
does Stinky stink the Cat like... stink, or that's just his name?
No, Max names him Stinky because when he first finds him, he's been locked in an apartment with a zombie for like a month.
Yeah.
And so the cat smells like death. And that's what gives Max the idea that smelling like death might be a kind of defense.
Huh. That's a thing in Walking Dead, too. Did you think of that first? Or
I think it predates Walking Dead. I think there's zombie movies where that's... Yeah. I think that's... definitely the Walking Dead comic book had it before I did. I might have written it, but not published it before Walking Dead.
They stole your
As
thoughts,
often
man.
Happens.
They stole your thoughts. All right, we'll be back with hour two, where we'll talk about what the government did to Bitcoin on the Freedom
Worms.
We're co-worms on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Worms is a verb. Cake is a lie.
Worm into your brain.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. This is a reminder that Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
So you looked up Sinflood. What did you learn?
I looked it up, but I went ahead and brought up the federal agents investigation thing after that, and so I'm going to have to look up Sinflood again. I don't remember what it was. What did you say it was? You said it happened to you.
Yeah, it's a hack attack. It's an old school hack attack.
Okay.
Hack.
A form of denial of service attack in which an attacker sends a succession of SYN requests. I'm requesting SYNs S-Y-N. All the time. To a target system in an attempt to consume enough server resources to make the system unresponsive to legitimate traffic. What's SYN?
people think when we say that we're talking about sin, S-I-N.
I thought that for the longest time.
That's why it's fun.
I mean, it's hard to imagine, like, what is a sin flood? Flood of sin.
It's Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Are you engaging in commerce? I can hear you.
I've got a...
What are you doing there?
Up a hostage right now.
Do that away from the mic. Yeah, that's commerce. Ransom his powers. Yeah, just
a roll of tape. Sorry. So why a sin flood? Why are we? Why? What is a? Keeping a sin flood of statism out of your head.
It's just poetry, man.
Statism is sort of a denial of service.
It is. It keeps good messages from getting in.
Legitimate traffic.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Silk Road. So that brings us
like
to
the Silk Road.
What Tyler Force. Durden said.
And what Force has been charged with.
Force, that is the best name ever for a government agent, for a crooked government agent, crookeder than most. What's this guy's name?
Carl M. Force, of Baltimore, was a special agent with the Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA. And Sean Bridges of Laurel, Maryland, Rhodes, was a special agent with the U.S. Secret Service.
Bridges are part of the Rhodes.
Bridges are part of the Rhodes. They're the part of the Rhodes you get charged for twice. Yeah. Because you pay your gasoline taxes and then you pay your tolls,
too. It's kind of like the death tax. So, you're already paying money on tax someone else paid money on.
Yeah. But yeah, bridges are often built to nowhere.
Yeah.
There's like there's a highway to hell, there's a stairway to heaven, and there's a bridge to nowhere.
You know, my dad owned some land on Chautauqua Lake in upstate New York when I was a lot younger. And it was pretty much worthless because it was not near anything. And then all of a sudden, there were plans. He was going to sell it, but he kept it because there were plans to put a highway, to put a bridge across the lake at that spot. Because it was pretty much the narrowest spot where you could build a bridge. Yeah. And he was going to be a millionaire if this thing went through. And what happened was, like, the brother-in-law of the governor got the bid instead for some land he owned that they paid more money for, that was less desirable, in a place that was harder to build and the lake was wider. That's government. That's who builds the roads right there.
And there you go.
People not doing it the best and cheapest way possible.
So the greatest thing about an agent named Force is the sentences. That
sounds like something from a book, man. It sounds like fiction. Like Agent Force.
Yeah, it's like Agent Force. You know,
Judge Dredd. Yeah. He'd work for Judge Dredd. Agent Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in Snow Crash, the main character's name is Hero Protagonist.
No, it isn't. Really?
It is. It's Hero That's Protagonist. Funny. Yeah. But it's H-I-R-O. He's Japanese. He's a samurai.
I knew a woman. I used to date this painter girl when I was a teenager, who used to sign, like, when she was a great painter. When she did paintings she didn't really like and didn't want her name on it, she'd sign them Hieronymus Anonymous. I always thought that was a cool made up name.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But check out this sentence. Force is charged with wire fraud, theft of government property, money laundering, and conflict of interest. Bridges is charged with wire fraud and money laundering. I feel like this should be like a theme all across the internet. Force is charged with fraud. Fraud is charged with theft. Theft is charged with conflict.
No, it should be an update on who's on first.
Yeah.
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 How would you do that?
Let's see. Force would be one. Rhodes would be another. And Hero Protagonist would be the other. I don't know.
The road to Rhodes. Rhodes is on the road.
Yeah. What would be called? Is there a name that's kind of like theft? Oh, Cheatham. It'd be Force, Cheatham, and Rhodes.
Force and Cheatham.
Yeah. You could do an update on who's on first with those names.
This is going to take a little more mental bandwidth.
Okay.
Than
I think.
While keeping my mouth moving, but I think this is definitely something worth putting some time into.
I think you need to start by reading a little bit of the article. We're kind of bearing the lead here.
Yeah, we are. So the headline is, the lead is, federal agents investigating Bitcoin money laundering extorted stole over $1 million in Bitcoin. And the long and the short of it is, while these two guys, Force and Bridges, which while they
Call
were investigating
Force and
Silk
fraud.
Road.
It's really Force agent fraud. Agent fraud agent and fraud. Agent Force. And agent aggression. Jack aggression.
While they were investigating the Silk Road, which was sort of an online marketplace run by the Dread Pirate Roberts, allegedly Ross Ulbricht, they were pretty much just, yeah, well, the Silk Road was what the agents were up to was not. And that is that they were just taking the money, right? Like this was a big sort of, DEA case because people, the Silk Road was accused of dealing drugs and they weren't just taking the money, they were doing it in elaborate ways.
One of them made up a fake person and then had another fake person contact the DEA and offer to sell information on this fake person. And they did. And then he kept the money.
Have you heard about the recent, there was, I forget what agency it was, but they were essentially caught running or attending sex parties hosted by the drug cartels that they were sent to investigate.
Well, you know, they have to like look like they're, you know, undercovers will snort some drugs once in a while. So,
oh, no, they weren't undercover. No, that's not what was going on at all. Essentially, I think this was the DEA, but I'll double check. Essentially, these agents were sent to investigate these drug cartels. And then the drug cartels invited them to these parties and they checked their badges and guns at the door to attend these sex parties with the drug cartels. And they weren't undercover. Everybody knew who they were. And this is just, you know, part of the price of doing business, I guess.
Force and Bridges abused.
Abused
their positions. Now, the funny thing is they're being arrested for things that are like even dirtier than what their job description was, because the DEA basically stole all the money from Ross Ulbricht. You know, they committed theft and aggression and force, but then these agents were like even more corrupt than that. You know,
Bridges allegedly diverted to his personal account over $800,000 in digital currency that he gained control of during the Silk Road investigation. So that means essentially he acquired this guy's computer. The computer had some Bitcoin wallets on it available that were insufficiently protected. And so he just transferred the money to a personal account. He's just like, hey, look at this. I think I'll just, you know.
He funneled it through Mt. Gox. I wonder if he crashed Mt. Gox somehow. Maybe these guys had something to do with Mt. Gox going out of business.
That would be really interesting.
The thing is, too, I don't think any of this is going to help Ross Ulbricht. I mean, he's already.
Oh, no, it won't.
He hasn't been sentenced yet, has he, or has he? He's been convicted.
I think he's been convicted but not sentenced, and they're going to try to appeal and all of that. Although, you know, if you could lay a bunch of charges on the people who were doing the investigation, I wonder if you could have the evidence that they uncovered thrown out.
Maybe.
And then force the prosecution to build a case without that evidence.
But didn't...
That would really help him.
Didn't Ross Ulbricht also, like, talk to agents within an hour of being arrested?
I don't know.
I think
talk in what sense?
Well, in the sense of instead of saying I'm not speaking, I want to talk to an attorney. I think, unless I'm confusing with something else, I think he just like spilled the beans as soon as they had him in a room.
That's unfortunate. I thought he was smarter than that.
Yeah. And I think if you do that, it probably doesn't matter what evidence they have on you. We don't have our attorney here tonight because he has to get up and be an attorney in the morning.
Well, yeah, I would assume anything that you say can and will be used against you in a court of law.
I think it's covered by that.
I take them at their word when they say that. So,
but I'm wondering if some of this could be used to like, you know, discredit the whole investigation. Probably. I mean, in a decent world, it would be, but we don't live in a decent world.
In the OJ Simpson trial, it would have been.
If the bit doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the block doesn't chain, you must abstain.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like it. So read a little more of what these guys did. Read about Force's fake online personas.
This is Bridges. Where's Force's fake?
Fake Agent persona. Force.
The complaint also alleges that Force invested in and worked for a digital currency cryptocurrency exchange company while still working for the DEA, and that he directed the company to freeze a customer's account with no legal basis to do so, and then transferred the customer's funds to his personal account. So this is not even related to the investigation.
He just
this
got a
is
job.
Just like,
yeah, like I'm going to use.
I'm going to go get a job as a banker so that I can wipe your account and just steal it.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even Ross Ulbricht. So this is just any random customer.
He just got the Bitcoin bug and then took it to
just a thief.
He took it to where a government agent would. Evil, you know.
How can I steal as much of this as possible?
I wonder if in his mind he was kind of
how can I earn as much.
I wonder if he was justifying it, thinking like this isn't really money. This is play money, maybe.
Yeah, it's just file sharing on the internet.
Yeah. Did you read the part about where he said he was his boss in a letter to somebody to get somebody's account closed somewhere?
I don't remember that. Let me see if I can find it.
It's not the word boss, but letterhead maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess this is something else. Have you been following any of the news in Yemen in the last few days?
Maybe.
No, yeah, whatever. So essentially, in the last few days, Saudi Arabia has started bombing Yemen, and the first thing they did was bomb civilian airports. And the funny thing is, China, Somalia, a handful of other countries, they all evacuated their citizens, but not the U.S. The U.S. only evacuated their bureaucrats. I'm not shocked by these things anymore.
We'll be back after this trip to the Silk Road.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
I don't know. Boob pictures on Twitter. I didn't ask to see them. The internet forced them on me. The internet's pretty cool because girls that wouldn't have been thought of as attractive 25 years ago can now have like 150,000 followers on Twitter just by posting semi-nude pictures all the time. What a world. What a time to be alive. If I were a girl, I'd be a millionaire. All right. So, Davi. Yeah, with my brains and like, you know, any woman's body, I'd be a millionaire. All right, so go ahead, man. What do you got? You got something about the government and how horrible they are.
Well, there's lots of things about the government and how horrible they are, but there's I think I found the line you were talking about. It says, further, Force allegedly sent an unauthorized Justice Department subpoena to an online payment service directing it to unfreeze his personal account. So
think about like all the time someone's irked you on the internet and you wanted to do something to them. Like that's the kind of force that government people named Force have. Like, you know, instead of just I'll what is that famous cut and paste thing that people copy paste a thing of the like internet nerd threatening people? I have your IP address and I have cartels worth of people standing by and we're gonna kick in your door. You ever see that thing?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, you know, when people get angry on the internet and say, I'm going to do things to you. Someone who works for the DEA actually can.
Well, see, this is the interesting thing. Like, this guy's engaged in, like, legit money laundering. He's stealing money. The article says stealing money from the government, but it wasn't the government's.
Yeah.
Bitcoin. It says stealing money from the government, stealing users, other people being investigated. And he's also stealing from just regular old, like, Joe Schmoes who are using this, you know, this service.
Yep.
And then he's redirecting that money through a subsidiary account. And then when that account freezes, which is where your run-of-the-mill money laundering might run into too much of a hurdle to move forward, he's like, nope, wait, I work for the Justice Department. I'll just fake up a letter from the Justice Department and have my own account unfrozen under the authority of the government. So it's like he gets both. He's like, he's got both the criminal channels and the official channels in which to engage in his nefarious activity. You know,
people like Obama basically want everyone working for the government. I mean, that's a goal. And you know, they always say, oh, we created jobs, and it's usually government jobs. What's going to happen when everybody is working for the government and everybody has the power to do sleazy stuff like this to each other? Be an interesting world.
Like, you get in an argument with someone and you're like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to make sure you get an IRS audit, or, oh yeah, I'm going to make sure that your driver's license gets suspended unexpectedly, or I'm going to,
everybody can has do that to everyone else. Yeah.
Little twist they can jab someone with.
Yeah.
That would be a very unpleasant.
I'm wondering if the government, I'm wondering if the government like poisoned me or something, man. I'm sicker than I should be, and it's gone on for longer than it should, and doctors can't really figure it out. I'm going to get a whole bunch more tests when my healthcare kicks in on the 1st of April. But so far I've been shelling out money out of pocket, but yeah, man, I don't know. Wouldn't that be a great way to mess with a talk show host that criticizes the government? Make it so it's difficult for him to breathe and talk.
Just take his voice away.
Take his voice away. I was thinking that, like, the thing that would be really smart for them to do would be like give you some kind of poison that doesn't have any side effects, doesn't make you sick at all. All it does is like lowers your IQ. But I kind of feel like that's happened to me over the past bunch of months. Like, I've, you know, long-term listeners notice that, like, it takes me longer to find nouns, which is actually a symptom of Alzheimer's disease, but I don't have that. But Ben Stone and I both, it takes us longer to find nouns. Like, you know, we'll be like, we can construct these complex sentences, and we'll be like, well, yeah, frankly, I believe that, you know, the arbitration of the escrow of that particular item would be necessary with the, you know, the green stuff you have in your wallet. Money, yeah, cash, the cash, like that kind of stuff. Or, like, you know, we'll be talking, right, you know, relaying a dinner story. We'll be like, yeah, and then I dropped my, you know, the thing with tines that you push into food to put it in your mouth, the fork. Like, I've been like that for quite a while now. And, but, you know, I think it might be a side effect of depleted oxygen in my blood, because I had it measured today, and it's like, and I wasn't even having a coughing fit at the time. I was pretty comfortable. And they said it was like 85% of what it should be. And that's because I'm having trouble breathing deeply without coughing. So I've been deep breathing more shallowly. So I think my brain is just not getting as much oxygen. It's making me stupider. So
we came across an oxygen bar today in San Francisco.
I may end up on oxygen, which is a really scary thought. But I don't know, man. Hubert Selby was, and he got a lot done.
They say it revitalizes your mind.
Yep.
Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, you're getting a lot of dropouts. Let's reboot Fiend Phone.
Sure.
Same password, same stuff.
Fiend Phone. Fiend Phone.
Hello?
Yeah, you there? Cool. I'm gonna get some water. I'll be right back. Want to talk about sex parties?
Sure.
Are people being prosecuted in that one too?
Oh, I don't know. A report.
Did I say on air about how the government will eat its own, or did I just say it to you?
You said it on air, but you didn't pay it off.
What do you mean?
Like, it wasn't clear what you meant.
Yeah. That was a misfire. We're not supposed to be back for a minute. But, yeah, we'll roll with it.
I blame the government.
What's that board up?
We're live, sorry.
Yeah, I know. Something's wrong. I blame the government.
So while the DEA was stealing your Bitcoin with one hand, it was throwing drug cartel sex orgies with, I guess all orgies are sex orgies.
I do want to, no, there's food orgies. I do want to follow up that, you know, people probably think it's a win that these agent force and agent fraud are being prosecuted. And the thing is, it's not a win. The government will always eat their own to try to look honest. You know, they'll always throw the worst of the bad apples or the most blatant of the bad apples under the bus so they can look pure.
So it's not like anyone's getting their Bitcoin back.
I know. Yeah.
So let me just read this opening sentence and you tell me what you think. While the creed of the DEA agent is to hunt down those in the underground drug trade, a recent report reveals that these soldiers of the war on drugs have allegedly been engaging in wild orgies with prostitutes and allowing Colombian drug cartels to pick up the tab.
Wow.
Just all in a day's work, right?
That's not very sexy. I got to say, there's nothing sexy about that. I'm turned off.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is, I've heard of this before.
I mean, I had a halfy before, you know.
You had a semi?
Yeah, just, you know, just talking about Bitcoin makes me happy. And
there you go.
You know, I was having a good couple minutes there where I could breathe okay. That makes me happy. And, you know, instantly I'm filled with tumultuous life stirrings in special places. But yeah, then I hear about DEA orgies and I just, ugh. I lose it.
All right. You aren't here. It gets worse.
Thanks.
Perhaps the most shocking revelation of the report is not only that the DEA agents were regularly having sexual encounters with prostitutes, but that they were beating them as well.
Beating the prostitutes?
Beating the prostitutes. There's at least one documented incident in which an agent was physically... in which an agent physically assaulted a prostitute during an argument over money. That's how states do it. You know?
Wait,
that's
I thought the government was paying, or I thought the cartels, the other government, the cartels were paying for the prostitutes. Or is this not an open bar of sex party? It's like you have to pay for each beverage.
Keep a tab
of females.
I have no idea. I've never been to a.
It doesn't surprise me.
Cartel, you know, sex
government
party.
Government agent beat a prostitute. I mean,
he might have just hit her for fun. I mean, he is a government agent.
Yeah, and I don't.
I'm just saying.
Ugh. Well, yeah. I mean. Yeah, that's their job description, man, is harming people. You know, the thing people have to remember about, like, government attorneys, they love to prosecute people. And the reason is because they don't bill, you know, like a normal private attorney bills. And that's part of how he measures his success, you know, and wins and usually defending people from the government. But, yeah, government agents, like they, government attorneys get paid the same amount, whether they win or lose, but they don't stay government attorneys long unless they win almost all the time. So they just love to be horrendous to people. So it's not surprising me that people in the same kind of realm, same stratosphere, would beat prostitutes.
So it doesn't sound like anybody's actually facing charges here. But what it does say is
there'll be a rigorous investigation, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, there's an internal investigation going on already, Michael, so you rest assured that justice
already
will be done in this instance. But it says Inspector General Michael Horowitz indicated that the DEA's Internal Affairs Office did not thoroughly investigate some 26 cases pertaining to agents partying with prostitutes, and that the DEA does not have a definitive policy in place to deal with this type of misconduct.
Wow.
So, you know, he's going to look over those 26 cases that they didn't self-report.
And they'll find the one guy they don't like. The one guy they don't like, they'll prosecute, probably.
Well, no, I think the real silk lining here, or what is it? Silk, whatever. The silver lining here is that they're going to craft a policy, see? And then they'll have a definitive policy on the way in which DEA agents should be slumming around with drug cartels and prostitutes.
Okay.
And then we can all rest assured this won't happen again, even though the FBI and the ATF and a number of other agencies are also implicated in this investigation. So I just, you know, at this point, in the war on drugs. I think the DEA does far more damage, not only to the people that they throw in jail, but just in general and through their existence, that maybe it's time to lock up the whole lot of them. I mean, why are these things illegal anymore?
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? Did you see do you have the crypto anarchist manifesto I sent you from 1988?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Let me send it to you again. It's kind of ties back to the Silk Road thing. It's actually a document from 1988 that predicts Bitcoin and Tor and the Silk Road.
All right.
And do you got it? Do you have it?
Sir? I got it. You want me to read this?
Would you please? Yeah, it's pretty short. I think it's worth reading.
Yeah, it's only like four paragraphs. So it's called The Crypto Anarchist Manifesto by Timothy C. May.
Who is like an engineer at Intel. Yeah, I mean, this wasn't some, you know, like dark net hacker hiding in his windowless bunker. This was like a guy at Intel who, yeah.
So a specter is haunting the modern world. That specter is crypto anarchy. Computer technology is on the verge of providing the ability. Yeah, it's spooky, right? It's like secret and chaotic.
Well, you know, the word crypto anarchy was an allusion to the term crypto fascist, which was a term for people who were fascist but tried to hide it. But crypto anarchy isn't really necessarily trying to hide your anarchy. It's trying to use cryptography with your anarchy for your anarchy.
Well, yeah, and anarchy doesn't mean chaos. I just mean like what are the worst implications of these words.
But right? I think this guy coined the phrase maybe. Let me look that up while you read this.
Sure. So computer technology is on the verge of providing the ability for individuals and groups to communicate and interact with each other in a totally anonymous manner. Two persons may exchange messages, conduct businesses, and negotiate electronic contracts without ever knowing the true name or legal identity of the other person. Interactions over networks will be untraceable via extensive rerouting of encrypted packets and tamper-proof boxes.
Keep in mind, this was written in 1988, which is 3 years before the World Wide Web existed. And I looked it up. This guy did not coin the term crypto anarchy. It was Venner Vinge, who is a San Diego State University professor of mathematics and science fiction author, who's written some Hugo Award winning novels, A Fire Upon the Deep, A Deepness in the Sky, Rainbow's End, Fast Times at Fairmont High, and The Cookie Monster.
This next line is totally prophetic. Reputations will be of central importance, far more important than dealings with the credit ratings of today.
There you go.
Reputation, man. It's all going to be about reputation. I think who are you and who really, do you know and how trustworthy are you?
That still hasn't really been worked out as well as
No, it hasn't, but it will be.
Yeah.
To
be able to have an anonymous verifiable reputation. That's the thing that needs to be worked out. Like, you know,
well, that is now at least technologically possible. Maybe the buttons haven't been put in the right place and the levers haven't been made clear to everyone, but the technology exists, so it's just a matter of time.
Yep.
These developments will alter completely the nature of government regulation and the ability to tax and control economic interactions, the ability to keep information secret, and will even alter the nature of trust and reputation. And I mean,
This guy's brilliant. This is 1988, man.
You know, like people talk about, I mean, this sort of, it struck the wrong chord in my brain the first time I heard it. People talk about Bitcoin is a trustless system. And I thought, trustless? That's not good.
No, it is good.
But it's totally,
you don't need no government in there.
Right. But that's the thing is like now,
yeah, because
rather than needing to trust something now I look for something I don't need to trust.
Yeah, cause in a trusted system, a DEA agent can write a fake letter and seize your money.
Right. Exactly.
And that doesn't work in a trustless system.
So literally, at least for me, and I'm sure many others, the nature of trust in business is completely flipped on its head.
Yeah. I never understood why people keep their Bitcoin in, you know, anywhere but other than their own desktop. I don't understand why people keep it in exchanges. Because that's a trusted system.
I, That is a trusted system. I think they only do that because they want a day trade, and something about that has to do with the speed of whatever. But that's just never been my bag. I'm more of a merchant than a trader. So
you're not a capitalist. You're a what's the term? I mean, in the real sense, like a capitalist is someone who deals in capital rather than in money rather than in goods. You're a provider. You're a seller.
I'm a merchant. I'm an agorist.
You're a vendor.
I'm a vendor.
All right, so read on, young vendor.
The technology for this revolution, and it surely will be both a social and economic revolution, has existed in theory for the past decade. The methods are based upon public key encryption, zero-knowledge interactive proof systems, and various software protocols for interaction, authentication, and verification. The focus has until now been on academic conferences in Europe and the US, conferences monitored closely by the NSA. This was written in 1988.
Yeah.
I thought the NSA didn't officially exist in 1988.
Does it officially exist now?
Well, it used to be called No Such Agency, right? Because they denied that it existed. I thought 9/11 was when they publicly announced they rolled that the NSA exist. Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, but only recently have computer networks. I mean, people knew that it existed, it doesn't surprise me that he would say it. But it's sort of like using the term National Security Agency in 1988 was a little bit like saying I'm being followed by black helicopters. Well, right?
A guy who knew this much about the future probably was being followed by black helicopters in 1988. The theory is that this document helped inspire Satoshi.
It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, this is sort of like laying a foundation on which Bitcoin is built.
Yeah.
But only recently have computer networks and personal computers attained sufficient speed to make the ideas practically realizable. And the next 10 years will bring enough additional speed to make the ideas economically feasible and essentially unstoppable. High-speed networks, ISDN, tamper-proof boxes, ISDN. Smart card satellites.
That's so old this point.
It's obsolete already?
Yeah, like
I don't even know what that is.
Our internets are way faster than that now.
Satellites, Ku-band transmitters, multi
Ku-band. That's what LRN is on. Ku-band.
Okay.
Yeah.
And encryption chips now under development will be some of the enabling technologies, and they're already obsolete. That's funny.
Yeah, it's like you don't need a separate chip for encrypting now. But this guy was a cutting edge back then. This guy was building the chips that we have in our computers now at Intel.
Mm-hmm. So the state will, and it's interesting, he capitalizes state. That's sort of a staple of anarchists. Yeah, I do too, because it's a deity. the state will, of course, try to some people. I'm just being respectful of other people's religions, and I'm capitalizing the name of their deity. I'm a tolerant person.
There's a theory that this guy is Satoshi.
Oh yeah, that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Do a word choice analysis.
We'll read the rest of this when we come back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
If he, if this is Satoshi and he can't get the original Bitcoin that's untouched, the Genesis block, maybe it's on his machine at Intel and he needs to have like a Mission Impossible type team hired to like go through the vents, shimmy down the walls.
Break into Intel and steal a computer they don't even know is valuable.
Not even steal it. Just sit down at it and transfer the Bitcoin to another computer.
Steal the file they don't even know is valuable.
Although, I doubt a computer that was at Intel in 1988 is still sitting there. Unless it's a doorstop. So are you individually wrapping 100 badges? Shiny badges?
Yeah. So the thing is, with an order like this, I inspect every badge to make sure that the pin isn't damaged because sometimes a pin gets damaged in transit from China to here. And I don't want to send a client, especially a client who orders this large, broken merchandise. So I'll inspect all of them, put them all in nice packaging. And
well, you do that for everybody, you know. Right?
Yeah.
Because I'm recording.
No, I do. I do that for everyone. And that's the thing. Like, if I were just, if this were just my own order, then I would just put it in my box and I would inspect them before I mailed them to individuals. But in this case, this guy ordered 100. So, yeah, I'm going to inspect 100 badges, make sure they're all in good condition.
What number are you up to?
621.
Wait, I thought there were only 100.
Oh, no, no. That's the actual badge number since
The Genesis block.
I have wrapped 40 so far.
So there's 600 in these out in the world.
Actually, I have up to number 700 in this batch. Yeah.
Do you have number one
out there? No, Pete Air has number one.
Do you have number two?
I have number three. Ademo Freeman has number two.
Well, that makes sense.
And I have number three.
Nice.
And Drew Phillips has number four. And I don't know who has
number 666.
666 actually was in this block, and it was pre-ordered. Let me see if I can find it here. It was ordered by...
Satan.
I don't have the name.
You don't want to say on the air or on the recording.
Private. Yeah, that's true. People can go to copblock.org and register their badge numbers, but it should be an opt-in thing. I shouldn't go announcing. I don't keep records of what numbers people get.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people requested numbers, and so when I get to that phase of ordering, that's when I let them know, hey, your number came in, do you want to order it? And so 666, 665, and 667 were all pre-sold.
Wow. 667, the neighbor of the beast.
Exactly.
Actually, 668 would be the next door neighbor of the beast. 667 would be the beast across the street.
The kitty corner of the beast.
The Genesis block.
I should get a zero badge made.
You should. Yeah, we're back. Freedom Fiends. The Genesis block of bloody nose libertarianism. Did you miss that discussion?
No, I didn't. I heard the discussion about bloody nose libertarianism.
You invented it.
The zero block bloody nose libertarianism.
That's what this is. You invented bloody nose libertarianism. I just named it.
No, I think it actually belongs to Hagbard Saline in the Illuminatus trilogy.
Ah.
Because in that book, which was published in 1975, which is before I was born, so I'm definitely going to give it credit. Hagbard Saline is asked if he should be referred to as captain aboard his vessel. And he says, no, there's no such authority on this ship, because he's an anarchist. And then he says, on second thought, call me whatever you want. And if I don't like it, I'll punch you in the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say the people on Firefly are kind of bloody nose libertarians.
Yeah,
I would say Boston Tea Party kind of is too, but you know, not over and even takes it further. I mean, he says in one of his books, you know, when the founding fathers or when the patriots at Lexington and Concord were shot at by the redcoats, the patriots didn't stand there quoting John Locke at them. They shot them, and they shot them well. I always like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also talks about how the non-aggression principle is great up to a point. But, you know, when someone aggresses on you to the point where you should fight back, you're not going to live if you just scream, stop aggressing on me. And he said, you know, all fish wriggle when caught.
Help, help, I'm being repressed.
I'm being oppressed. Come see the violence inherent in the system. Come witness
the violence inherent in the system.
Yep. All right. So, you know, actually, Chris Chantrell says that in that thing that was on Colbert Report. He's like really straight-facedly talking about, like, well, yeah, and, you know, and people can plainly see the violence inherent in the system. Like, he uses that phrase. I wonder if he realizes he's quoting a Monty Python joke.
Maybe not. He does. That was a great civics lesson in Monty Python.
It really was.
It was not only like making fun of principality, but making fun of syndicalists.
Yeah, making fun of the bureaucracy that forms in leftist anarchists. All right, so read the rest of this cyberpunk thing, please.
The state will, of course, try to slow and halt the spread of this technology, citing national security concerns, use of the technology by drug dealers and tax evaders, and fears of societal disintegration. Many of these concerns will be valid. Crypto anarchy will allow national secrets to be traded freely and will allow illicit and stolen materials to be traded. An anonymous WikiLeaks. Computerized, yeah, WikiLeaks, exactly. An anonymous computerized market will even make possible Silk Road abhorrent markets for assassination politics, and extortion. The DEA. You know,
so people have been talking about assassination politics with crypto anarchy since the 70s, but yeah. No one's ever done it. You know, like when this market was finally available, people are just selling drugs and guns, man. Nobody's actually like taking out hits. And I really think that the DEA made up the idea that Ross Ulbricht was hiring assassins, because that's always been the boogeyman of crypto anarchy. And they didn't charge him with it. They just said
Didn't charge. They just alleged it without charging
like
him.
As
he's
if
an unindicted assassin.
like as if everyone would just go, oh, it must be true. The government said it. The same people that were stealing the Bitcoins blind from everyone else.
Right.
Okay, go on.
So, various criminal and foreign elements will be active users of CryptoNet.
Foreigners.
But this will not halt the spread of crypto anarchy.
They took our crypto anarchy, them foreigners.
They're taking our Bitcoin.
Yeah, the government's taking our Bitcoin.
Right. Just as the technology of printing altered the... altered and reduced the power of medieval guilds and the social power structure, so too will crypto logic methods fundamentally alter the nature of corporations and of government interference 3D, in economic transactions.
3D printing over BitTorrent.
Combined with emerging information markets, crypto anarchy will create a liquid market for any and all material which can be put into words and pictures. And more than that now, you know, 3D printing means that goes into anything that can be made out of plastic and eventually metal and... eventually everything. And just as seemingly minor invention like barbed wire made possible the fencing off of vast ranches and farms, thus altering forever the concept of property and the frontier in the West, so too will the seemingly minor discovery out of an arcane branch of mathematics come to be the wire clippers that dismantle the barbed wire of intellectual property.
That's great. What a great short manifesto, and very prescient, and see in the future in a way that most people didn't.
Rise up. You have nothing to lose but your barbed wire. That's how he concludes. And he's totally right. And he was right in 1988.
I'm glad we shared this with our audience. It's an important document, and I will link it in the show notes. And thank you, Davi, for your service.
Worms.
You're going to be on later this week with Dan. I'm just going to be board-opping that one.
Good times.
Worms.